Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. No, the year is, in a certain sense, it's a year in preparation. In the more recent future, it's the last week. But it was something that I thought in the Gesundheit next year, when we get the Parshas Todos, this is what we have to say. And it's something that is of significance not only in this parsha, but it has ramifications across all of Tanakh. There'll be a general rule that we're going to learn, and I'm going to give you examples of it, and then I'm going to show you the most awesome place in Torah where it is of extreme meaning and significance. Since you didn't understand the word I was saying till now, I'll start with it. Number one. This is the beginning of the fourth chapter in Sefer Bereishit. It's after the story of Adam and Chava, after the incitement of the serpent, the snake, the Nahash. They eat from the Eitz Hadar, and of course the curse comes down upon the Nahash, upon Chava, upon Adam. And the next chapter 4 begins, V'ha'odam yodai et Chava ishto. And Adam knew his wife Chava. That's of course a euphemism, but not completely a euphemism, but he knew her well, he knew her intimately. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to Cain, and she said, Kamiti Isha Hashem, I have acquired a man with Hashem. And there's a Rashi here. V'ha'odam yoda. Rashi says there, V'ha'odam yoda, and now man had known. Oh, the English translation here is extremely, extremely significant. But watch. First, read the Rashi. Kodem, kvar kodem, ha'iyon shomalo. Don't think that man lived with Chava after the whole tragedy of eating from the Eitz Hadar and his being expelled from the Garden of Eden. No. He had already lived with her, had been intimate with her in Gan Eden. She had given birth to Cain and Hevel. And what's happening over here is this story about Adam and Chava living with one another and having children. We would call it in English a flashback. We're telling about something that had already happened earlier. And how does the Torah describe what had already happened earlier? So Rashi explains it. He says, Kvar kodem ein shomayim will prior to the above topic, kodem shachotah, before he sinned, v'nidrav v'gan Eden. Before he sinned, and before he was driven out of the Garden of Eden. V'chein, Rashi says, her pregnancy and her giving birth all took place earlier. The birth of Cain and Abel took place before the sin. Because if the Torah would have written, Vayeda Adam, and man knew, it doesn't say Vayeda Adam. It says Veha Adam Yada. So Rashi is telling us, and this is the first time this kind of a form, a dramatic form, appears, and here is established this principle of how things are written in God's Torah in Lashon HaKodesh. If you have the noun before the verb, as here, V'ha'odam yoda, the correct translation is, and Adam had already known, past perfect. It means, therefore, that this took place before the story that was said previous. It's not happening now.
She had no paper pen.
What? Wait.
So she had no labor pains then. If she gave birth, he wouldn't have.
That's wonderful! That's wonderful! So she had no labor pains when she gave birth.
She had no labor
pains. You need a woman to think of that. Okay, so I let her. What is it?
This is why the serpent became jealous of them, and
this is why
the serpent became jealous of them, because he saw them together, and that's why
okay, good. Yeah, that's very good. She just two of them are wrong. She said that, I think the Samana comes out, that the serpent in Nachash saw them engaged in an act of intimacy, and that's what raised his passion to go after them. But the important thing is, when you have the noun before the verb, the ha'odam yada, it always means something that had taken place earlier.
Before.
Kodem. So that, as I say, it would be called a flashback. And Rashi explains that if it would have said Vayeda Adam, she didn't talk about Vayeda Adam. If it would have said and now Adam knew, he describes it in English correctly, a future with a vav conversive instead of had known. In other words, if it would have said Vayeda, Yeda is future, the vav changes the future into the past. That's normal. That's called the simple normal past. Vayom and Moshe said. Vayomer Hashem and Hashem said. That's what it always is. But over here, when it says it, Fakir, the opposite way around, well, although you're done, and Adam had none. Okay, that's one. Two. Another classic example of this principle is at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, in Shmot, the end of Parashat Mishpatim. Now remember, Revelation at Sinai, which was on the sixth or the seventh day of Sivan, was all described in Parashat Yitro, the parts before. Then we have the Elam Mishpatim, all of the laws. If all the laws are finished in Mishpatim, it says Ve'el Moshe Amar. God had said to Moshe, Alei Hashem, go up to God, you and Aaron and Nadab and Avihu. So Rashi there says, Parsha Zu Nemra Kodem Aseres HaDibros. This Parsha that comes at the end of Mishpatim belongs someplace in the middle of, really happened in the middle of Parsha Yitro before the Ten Commandments. And he says that it happened on the fourth day of Sivan. Why it's written afterwards, that's a different discussion. Maybe we'll get to Mishpat and we'll talk about that. I'm only interested in the form of the words. How does Rashi know this, that it had taken place earlier? Because it doesn't say Vayomer El Moshe. It says Ve'el Moshe Amar. Ve'el Moshe Amar means, and to Moshe he had said. Pass. Perfect. A few weeks ago, Parshat Lech Lecha, we were away in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and about 6 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos in the morning, and it's like I come to a pasuk that just shakes me. First of all, I said the pasuk 10,000 times, but it didn't strike me. All of a sudden, it struck me. And watch number three. The shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram become involved in an altercation. Mm-hmm. And they're too much. They have too much sheep and cattle, and the earth cannot carry them both. And therefore, Avram says to his nephew Lot, let there not be contention between us. He pareh no me'alai. Separate yourself from me. That's all. Look around. Look around. Look at this great country. Whatever you want. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. So it says, Vayivchal Lot et kol kikar ha'yarden. Lot chose for himself the kikar ha'yarden, the Yarden basin. Vayisar Lot mikedem. Vayipardu Ishmael of the separation. The separation of Lot from Avram. Avram. Yashav Beretz Canaan. Avram lived in the land of Canaan. Lot Yashav Beore Akikar, and Lot lives in the lands of the plain. Okay, the land. While Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tents by Yerach Sidon. His tents went up to Sidon. Banshi Sidon, because it tells the people of Sidon were roaring the Chatoim. They were very sinful and evil people. Now,
we should learn about separation with our enemies. Don't get to
Right? There was a political commentary on this that you have to separate from yourselves from the enemy. Okay? Vashem Omar El Avram. 6 o'clock in the morning. I take a look at Vashem Amar El Avram. And look at the next. This pasuk is amazing. Vashem Amar El Avram. And God said to Avram, Acharei Pareg Lot Me'imo. After Lot separated from him. Do you understand there are two phrases here that contradict one another? Vashem Amar El Avram means that God had said to Avram earlier. What was earlier? Before they separated. But the prophet says no, that God said it to him, Achadehi Pareg Lot Mimo. If the Lot separated. How can you say these two phrases in one
sentence,
in one breath? God had said to Avram, if the Lot separated them. You can't say it. So I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there. I'm having my first cup of the coffee of Shabbos morning. There is no cup of coffee like that.
I mean, the Torah is written after the fact.
What?
The Torah is written after the fact already, you could say. So
it is after the fact.
Wait.
When did God speak to Avram? When did he speak? Tell me, at what point did he speak to Avram? After he separated. You know where after he separated is? This passage. This is the point at which they're separated. So if anything, you should say, Vayomer Hashem El Avram, Acharei Pareg Lot Me'imo. God said to Avram, after Lot separated. But it says two phrases that almost contradict one another. And then a thought occurred to me. But now I finished the thought that occurred to me, so I wasn't sure. So I just looked around whatever sefer I could find. And the first thing that I found was an Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And he said, no, my son-in-law was sitting out far from me. I told him, you gotta hear this. To the right, you have the Or HaChaim. Vashem Amar, Tam Shalom Hitchil Lomar, the reason why he doesn't say Vayomar Hashem El Avram, he's asking the question that troubled me. Why doesn't it say Vayomar Hashem El Avram? Acharei. That it should say that God spoke to Avram as the Lot separated. He put him on. The Hitrin, the Rosh HaMeolah, now that he has separated from the Hosha, Mosiv HaKatov Lomar, what beauty was this? The prophet adds and tells us, Shagam Hashem Hoyo Yosheid Umitzapeh El Hadavar. The Tekif Minyad Shenifrad Horosha Jibad Elov Vehed O Et Oretz. You know what the prophet wants to do, the prophet wants to tell us you should know. God was waiting for the moment that Avram would separate. You know, it's like God is waiting there. I want to appear to Avram, and I want to tell him the great promise that this land is going to be his, but I can't talk to him as long as he still has love there. So, in other words, if the prophet wants to show us a tremendous amount of impatience on God's part, or anticipation of this moment, so the prophet writes, it's as though God said it to him before they separated. But when did he say it? And then he gives him the great promise. So now, look, see the whole land. The great promise. All that you see, this whole land is going to be yours and your children afterwards. So what the pasuk wants to describe over here is something that's indescribable in any other way except this. This great contradiction. He had said, but he hadn't said. He said after he put a load. But God is waiting for the moment so that he can say it, and it's as though God said it before. Very beautiful, beautiful way of reading the pasuk. Number four. This also, you know, when you're on a roll, you know, things start hitting you all over the place. You can't imagine. Here's the magic. Lot. This is Parsha Vayero, the next letter. Lot is fleeing from Sodom. He's fleeing from Sodom. And he says to God, can you imagine, this is very fascinating. He says to God, I'm afraid I won't be able to make it. He says, it's too much for me. There's a little city over here. And spare that city. Spare that city. It's a small city. So therefore they called the name of the city Tsar, small. And God says, okay. I'm going to save that city. By the way, you know what it means? Avram, with all of this praying, was only able to save Lot. And Lot, with one request of God, spare this city for me, he saved the city. And he got there. What? Hashem is your son, Horus. The sun came out of the earth. Below Bot Zara, and Lot came to the city of Zara. Okay? You see it? There it is. Vashem Himtir al Sidon. What do you mean Vashem Himtir? Vashem Himtir means that God had rained down upon Sodom and Amora sulfur and fire. But wait a minute, it didn't happen until he got to Zara. Now is when it happens. So it should have said, Vayamter Hashem al Stone Balamora. But it uses the past perfect. Nobody says shock. But you know what I'm doing? I'm going to take the Orachayim and say here. God is waiting for the moment that Lot gets to Tzoach. That means he wants to bring it down now. But he can't, his hands, so to speak, are tied until Lot gets to Tzoar. And the moment that Lot gets to Tzoar, it comes down. How can the Torah describe to us God's anticipation to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and God's waiting until Lot is safe? So they use past perfect not to tell us that it did happen in the past. It's only happening now. This Vashem hint here is the same as Vashem Omar Avram, and I'm going to show you something else similar. Okay, that's, we did one page. We got a lot more to go. We're turning over to the other side. Five, 6 and 7, this whole page, is going to talk about three psukim that appear in Parshas Toldot, this week's 7. Three, and by the way, it's not all the past perfects in the Seder, but there are three, and I'm going to turn you into people who will be forever looking as you come to a pasuk to see, is it a normal past, a past in order, in chronological order, or is it a past perfect, and you're going to find such amazing, oh, such amazing stuff. Here. Rivka hears that Yitzchak tells Esav that he wants to bless him. And he tells him, go out into the field, take your bow and arrow, go out into the field, hunt, bring, prepare for me a dish as I like it, and I'm going to bless you. Rivka hears this. The Rivka Shalmat, watch the prophet. Rivka is listening. Daber Yitzchak al Esav v'no, as Yitzchak is speaking to his son Esav. Vayelech Esav ha-sadeh. And Esav went to the field, lachud tzayid lahavi, in order to hunt and bring. V'rivka omra el Yaakov v'no leimor. Past perfect. And Rivka had said, when is had said? Is it before she heard? She can't tell him anything before she hears. She didn't hear anything. What does it mean she had said? When had she said?
Well, it says before, Rivka Shamat.
So now...
You have to say that Rivka had already heard.
All right, good. She had already heard.
And she had already told
Yaakov. Okay, the question therefore is, at what point can the Torah write that she spoke to Yaakov? So watch what happens. I'm describing the scene. Rivka knows she doesn't have a minute, a second to waste. This is going to be a race against the clock. She has no way of knowing when Esav is going to come back from the field. She must work with absolute speed. But wait a minute. The prophet has to tell us that Esav did what his father told him. He went out into the field. Did she wait till he left the house? No. She can't waste time. So someplace in the middle of the passage, before she tells him, how is the Torah going to write it? You know how the Torah writes it? V'rivka omra. Rivka had said the moment that she heard, even before Esav was out on the field. There's no time, not a minute to waste. V'rivka omra el Yaakov b'no leimar. Hinei shamati. Sure, she heard already. But the pasuk wants to describe to us the urgency, and that Rivka didn't let a single solitary second slip away, and at the very first moment that she could tell him, she already told him. There's only one way to show that, by using this past perfect, Rivka Amra. Okay? Number 6. This is earlier in Parshas Toldos. Yitzchak has been living in Gror, by affliction. Yitzchak has dug wells. There's been a battle over the wells. And even before the battle over the wells, they weren't too happy with Yitzchak there. So Avimelech, king of Plishtim, told him, Lech me'imanu, leave us. Some dummy men we owed. You have to come mighty than us, or mighty from us. Yitzchak, it's a time of famine, and Yitzchak is growing wealthier and wealthier. He plants, and his fields give him mayor sha'ol. 100 times more. And they're watching what's going on, you know? They already see before themselves a Jew who owns the banks and the insurance companies and an international power of one, Yitzchak, who's taking over the whole world. They hate him, they despise him. Classic anti-Semitism begins in Parshas Toldos. Well, listen, you're going to have Esau and Yaakov, and you're going to have Yitzchak and Abimelech. All right? And then it says, where are we? Oh, yeah, okay. So it says that in the first sentence, Magal Mishon Be'er, after the battle over the wells, he leaves to Be'er, and God appeared to him that night and said to him, I'm the God of Abraham, your father, don't be afraid. Don't worry about these guys. He is I am with you. I will bless you. I'm going to make your children many because of your Avram, my servant. Very few people are referred to in Tanakh as the servant of God. He built his bath, and he called out the name of God, and he pitched his tent, and his servants began to dig a well. Vavimelech holach elov mikror. Vachuzak meideyehu. Vavimelech went to him from Gror together with a group of his friends. Vayomer alei Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says to them, you know, I always get all on nerve when they, I mean, when people talk about Yitzchak, that Yitzchak was, that's right. Yitzchak was, I mentioned that terrible quote, you know, now that America has been through Hurricane Sandy, they forget Hurricane Isaac. A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I was Isaac. And this head of the Federation in New Orleans, wherever it was, says, well, you know, not to worry about Isaac. Isaac was really very laid back. His wife and son were able to drag him around their pinky finger. Terrible, terrible things. Yitzchak is able to say, most probably to the most powerful king of the time, now do I block him, Eli? Why did you come to me? My ten snakes, you hate me! What are you doing here? That's not coming from a laid-back, frightened little Yitzchak who's afraid of his wife's shadow. Nonsense! Yitzchak was a powerhouse. Let's go back to the puzzle before. Why doesn't it say by Galech Avimelech Elov Midgar? Why doesn't it say the way things are normally said, by Galech Avimelech? Why does it say Avram Halach? You know why it says Avram Halach? Avimelech Halach? You know why it says Avimelech Halach? Because the puzzle wants to point out that very soon after the time that Avimelech told him, Lech Mimon, get out of here, Raus, Yitzchak, he got all shook up. Wait, this Yitzchak is a powerful man. Why did I treat him like this? He immediately began the journey to meet up with Yitzchak. So this is a flashback. He had already come. And you know when he came? He came before that night. God had appeared to Yitzchak at night. That day, Avimelech was already there. And that night, God tells him, Yitzchak, I'll tear up. Come with me. Don't worry about it. Now comes the one that the whole shiur is about. The whole shiur is about one past perfect in all of Torah. Most not understood two words in Torah, and it's not understood. showed him exactly the extent to which it's not understood. And it shakes me up, and that's why I've been waiting to hear to say this. My God, that Yaakov Nazir, Yaakov cooked similar stew. I like that. Yaakov similar stew. Vayomu Esav Nasada, beginning of the Sedra, Esav came from the field, for who I ate, and he's exhausted. Vayomu Esav al Yaakov, Esav said to Yaakov, Halitinina, pour into me that red stuff. Ki Oyefam of him, because I'm exhausted. Out came Korosh Shemoed, and that's why his name became called right? Vayomu Yaakov, Yaakov said, Mikro Chayom et Tachorat Chali, sell me your birthright. Wait a minute. The man is very hungry. Your brother just came into the house and he is very, very hungry. So he says to him, sell me your birthright. By Yomer Esav, Esav says, I'm going to die. So wait a minute. At this point, shouldn't Yaakov immediately give him to eat? You know what it seems he does? You know, he takes, this is all imaginary, and never happened, don't get me wrong. This never happened. Never happened this way at all. But for somebody who doesn't know how to read the psukim, and just doesn't understand the simple touch of a pasuk, it would seem as though Yaakov is right now taking a bowl of soup, take a whiff. Ah, you can't have it yet. No. Sell me your bechora. No bechora, no soupy. He's going to die. The man is going to die. Why don't we off the Yaakov? He shoveled, swear to me. Kayom, by Yishoha. He's probably his blood sugar has dropped seriously. He's going into some kind of a coma, and he says, "Swiss, he swears." Yaakov, of course, presents him. Wait a minute, I have to write up a contract, and we have to get it done in triplicate. Hey, so do you have your chotemet with you? You don't have a chotemet. Nothing is legal in this country. Okay, all right. Finally, Esav is already about to die from terrible hunger. When he cut it to Chorefo Yaakov, he sold it. Yaakov, Natan, Esav, let him. When you sit at Doshim, a colleague of mine wrote last year, Jacob had taken unfair advantage of his brother's hunger. Would not compassionate righteousness have suggested that he give him the soup? I'm going to read it again, because I wanted to go into Yiddishka. Jacob had taken unfair advantage of his brother's hunger. Would not compassionate righteousness have suggested that he give him the soup? Now, this, of course, is going to lead much, much further on in the article on that parsha, and in the article on coming parshas, it turns out that Yaakov's early years was certainly not peaceful. The relationship with his twin brother, as was his relationship with his father. He didn't have a good relationship with his father because he felt unappreciated. I'm reading from my letter that I wrote to this author, who for the present will remain unnamed. So my comment is, you know, he felt unappreciated. So I write, how do you know? He writes that Yaakov was unloved. Ditto, SG, me. So how do you know that he was unloved? And guilty. He felt guilty. You see, because he didn't give the soup immediately to his brother. He was later struck with guilt, and that guilt, as you know, any good Jewish bicycle or mailer, guilt is something we wallow in all your life. And here he had a lot of guilt to wallow in. So he did. Until many, many years later, when he comes back from the house of the of Laban, he follows Esau to stay here and gives back the birthright and the blessings and asks Mechila. Fiction. This is fiction. 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 Now you're going to see, first of all, you're going to see the mistake. The mistake, you know it already. You know it already. Let's look at that last pasuk in the parashah. V'Yaakov Natan LeEsav. Do you think that Yaakov Avinu for a moment left his brother there hungry and without compassion refused to give him the soup? V'Yaakov Natan, Yaakov had already given, and not only did he give him the Nizid Adashim, the soup, he gave him bread, he gave him soup, he gave him to drink at the Ungestop Kiyat HaMerah Sudas Yaakov Avinu B'Shato.
Shlomo, Sudas Shlomo.
I wanted to say Yaakov Avinu. That's all. Malcolm, sorry. It's okay. Misham Lakakhti Ezer. That's all. What does Yaakov Natan mean? He asked it. Instantly he gave it. Instantly! You should know, most Sodhi Yisrael in the world don't know this, because it's been one of the great accusations against the Jewish people. The father, Yaakov, and you see that right away. And it's so simple. I just quote one sentence. Now watch. In 7-8 of Shamshon of Ulhersh, V'Yaakov Natan Le'Esav Lechem, V'Zid Adoshim, V'Yokov, V'Yaakov Natan, says Rav Shamshon of Ulhersh, not by me, Pain Yaakov, but it says V'Yaakov Natan had already given to him, at once, did not take advantage of his hunger to force him to sell, did not take advantage of his hunger to force him to sell. One sentence, it's only need an assumption for others. What did he see over there? You know what he saw? That it doesn't say Vayitain Yaakov. If it would have said Vayitain Yaakov, it would have meant that after everything has been signed and delivered and stamped and notarized and brought before a court, only then did he give him to Chassvishalom, he gave his brother peace instantly, and simply knowing how to read the words V'Yaakov Natan. And why does the pasuk write it this way? So that at the very end of the parsha, you should see exactly what Esav was. That V'Yaakov Natan, he gave him lechem, Nizid Adashim, Vayokal, he ate, Vayesh, and he drank, Vayokal, he got up, Vayelech, and he went, Vayin, as Esav as a Bechorah. He shamed the Bechorah. How do you see it? When you take it all in one pasuk, he ate already. Jacob had taken unfair advantage of his brother's hunger. Would not compassionate righteousness have suggested that he gave him the soup? Habibi, he gave him the soup. Instantly. Jews throughout all generations are Rahmanim, B'nai Rahmanim. We talked 2 months ago about an Israeli soldier that went out to give water to refugees at the border and lost his life because of it. You're going to go tell me that Yaakov Avinu, the most chosen of the others, didn't have compassion on his own brother?
But why doesn't
Jerusalem
Gimel come after Lamed Daled then?
What?
Why doesn't Jerusalem Daled come before Jerusalem Gimel? And why does it give us the
ambiguity? Who's talking to me now?
God.
I just answered that.
But it should be written in the opposite order.
No. What you have to begin to realize is that what I'm telling you, and to you it's a big chiddush, anybody who knows how to learn Torah would immediately see it the moment they read the Pasuk. I'm not telling you some kind of a new revelation that until gold came, nobody knew this, and I discovered it. From the time Torah was given, everybody knew how you read the Yaakov Natan. Everybody knew it. Well, no question over here. It didn't occur to anybody. Because they already learned Ba'adam Yada, Vashem Himtir, Vashem Amr. They know Hebrew. They know biblical style. Tavachidish. And then I also said earlier, because in this passage you show in one straight line how he embarrasses the Bechorah. He had eaten, and he gave him not only the soup, he gave him to drink, and he gave him bread, and he got, he ate, and he drank, and he got up, and he went. That's it. All in one passage. Not a question anymore. Once you know that this is what, how you read the passage, there is no doubt left in anybody's mind. You have to be totally unaware of basic the basic way in which Torah is written. I'm going to take you to the back page. Back page. It says on the top, Yaakov Bechir Havos. This is the page. This is a page from a sefer that was written by my older brother, Oliver Shalom Harav Shmuel Yehoshua Gold. He wrote a sefer called Iyunim Barashi. I think I once told you that he spent about 30 to 35 years studying 15 early manuscripts of Rashi manuscripts, and the 15 earliest printed editions of Rashi, and he found many mistakes and conflicts, and he did a job correcting Rashi in Polish. Everybody loved Rashi. Everybody loved Rashi because everybody loved Rashi. There were always there was always a person writing a manuscript that would then put in an extra word, maybe a little this, a little that. The printers did the same thing. Everybody liked Rashi so much, understand, that they took tremendous liberties with Rashi. So here, Yaakov is called the chosen of the fathers. I'm going to read this. It's very important, and I'm going to read it. The Karma Komi Tila Hasiri El Yaakov Avinu, here is the place from which I want to remove from upon Yaakov Avinu Bechir Ha'avos, the chosen one of the patriarchs, et lag hasha'ananim ha'buz shel ge'eyonim. I want to remove from him the libel and the shame that has been poured upon him by really evil people. Ha'goyim b'chol adaris. Goyim in all generations have gone to work on Yaakov. Ki'ilu, as though he he dealt with his brother Esav with cruelty, who believed regesh achva, and without any feeling of brotherhood, because he refuses to give the hungry person bread. And he refuses to give to one who is thirsty. He refuses to give him water. That's what we mentioned a moment ago. A Jewish soldier gave his life to give water to somebody who was thirsty. The nations of the world taunt the Jewish people until this very day. That, you know where we get our feelings? From Yaakov's cruelty. That's why we're cruel to the Palestinians. We're cruel to the whole world. We're the cruelest people. We are the Nazis of this generation. That's what they say. It's all there. It's all there. It's being said every day, or probably on a million websites, and it's Hamas, you understand, is part of their charter. Hamas, the fellows that are shooting the rackets over there, part of their charter, that every war and every problem that has afflicted mankind all started with the Jews. They described how we started the First World War, how we decided, how we started the Second World War. The next thing they'll be saying, and they did say it already in a number of times, that we wanted European Jewry to be destroyed. It's unbelievable. They went, it's unbelievable. Okay. So therefore, we receive our feelings from the cruelty of Yaakov Shoakamot, no Mizakatam. He closed his ears from hearing the cry of the poor, poor Esau, poor Esau. V'she'esau, mekor hashratam. Esau, who is the source from which they receive their feelings and their ideas. Who? Tzadik Gon. Esau is the Tzadik. She'nachor korban, l'nachut v'ramuot achot. He fell as a korban, was a victim of the trickery and the cruelty and the evil of Yaakov. Ha'im, my brother, as Ha'im be'emet, nimna Yaakov milamzor le'achil b'shach mitzuchato. Did Yaakov really withhold himself from listening to the cry of his brother? V'im kach ha'yu p'nei ha'dvarim, madu ala matal eisov ha'oshet ha'ochel d'chosko v'alkarcho. If Yaakov is being cruel with him, what's the problem? Esau has his bow and his arrow and his sword. You're dying of hunger? You just pull out your sword like Esau has known to Jews throughout all history. You don't want to give me the soap? I'll kill you now! Why did he do that? You know why he didn't do that? Because Yaakov gave him immediately to eat. V'im kach ha'yu p'nei ha'dvarim 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 ha'dvarim. Would anybody find Esau guilty for having taken the soup to save his life? Everybody would have said Esau is absolutely right, and they would condemn Yaakov for having been so heartless, so cruel, so evil. Though, my brother says, furthermore, I don't know a single Jew that would have conducted himself in such an evil way. His biggest enemy would come, and would ask my need bread to eat and water to drink. I don't know a Jew who wouldn't immediately give his worst enemy to drink and to eat. Zinzelo nimzo beinenu yechol adorot yechol amanu liyot smuchin uvduchin shizelo ho yaitzla vosenu akadoshin kimase ogos yorshi ubonim. We can be certain that this is the way our others, Avdom, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, conducted themselves. And every other incident that's mentioned in Torah, their lives, shows the relationship that they had with even those who hated them. Ha'im Yaakov Avinu lo kiyein tziduyo shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Yaakov Avinu didn't fulfill the command of Moshe. Lo ta'ameis et levavko lo tikpots et yachov. Don't harden your heart. Don't close your hand. You have to give to the poor. Ha'im Yaakov Avinu lo kiyein tziduyo shel Yishayahu Hanavi. Yaakov didn't listen to the command of Yaakov. We pointed out, which is the Haftor of Yom Kippur, we say. Give bread to the hungry is the holiest day in the year. That's what the Haftor says. Ha'im Yaakov Avinu lo kiyein asato shel Shlomo HaMelech. Im ra'ei son achaha al-cheileu lechem min tzomei hashkeu mayim. Beautiful posik. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. And Yaakov Avinu lo kiyem et divrei Chazal, mefarnesin am niyei nachrin am niyei Yisrael. Yaakov didn't keep the law. Our rabbi said, it's a mitzvah to give to the poor of Goyim, just as we give to the poor of Jewish poor. Now, sometimes some of the people that are here on the streets asking for money are Arabs. When I see an Arab, I give him money because I'm fulfilling the man of Chazal. That's it. You have to, the poor of all people are supposed to be Achshav. Now my brother says, Achshav, Lomei Yakar, you dear person who's learning, Sin Lev, pay attention. Vayein Heitev, and think about it very well. V'yirvach V'yin Amlecha. You know what he's going to do now? He's going to take us through that parsha, leading up to the pasuk of the Yaakov Natan. You know, our brothers in the show, there are so many verbs. There are so many verbs in the parsha. Watch. And all of them are normal verbs in the past. Vayigdalu hanorim. The children grew up. Vayehi Esav, Esav de'atzayin. Esav was a hunter. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav. And Yitzchak loved Esav. Vayozed Yaakov nozed. And Yaakov cooked the cooking. He simmered the stew. Everything follows the normal until all of a sudden we come to the Yaakov Matan. This is the first and only time in the Torah Parsha where it doesn't say the normal past with a vav at the beginning that turns it into future. It should have said Vayitev. Shouldn't that stop you all of a sudden in your tracks? Hey, something's happening here. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov halitaini. Vayomer Yaakov mitzvah hayom. Vayomer Esav hine yishavoli. Vayishavalo. Vayimkar. One after another. Everything is going in the normal order of the way it is written. Vayokham. And even after that, Vayokham, Vayesh, Vayokham, Vayelach. And only Rak Poel Echa. The whole parasha. Out of about 20 different verbs, there's only one that stands out as being different. That poel echad b'leit v'shonuto. One verb stands out by its difference. It's just plain different. V'yakov nakan le'etz of Latin when it's in Hadashim. Come, hear the Torah changed to write in what's called Ovar Mugdam. Ovar Mugdam. In English we call it past perfect. An Ovar which is Mugdam, that happened before. Flashback. And it's a Ukidivre Ravolf Heidenheim. Ravolf Heidenheim was a great grammarian and Parashat of Torah 300 years ago, and he's quoted by Yitzhava Kabbalah. The Malbim says that, I mean, this is said in a number of places in Torah, where he said the following, Omnom kasher yirtzu l'saper inyan asher hitchil v'nidamen kodem lachem, when the Torah wants to tell us about something that happened earlier, shesupar l'fanam, hinei oz yishtamesh b'pol avar gereda, a normal test. When we want to tell us about something that had happened, then the noun precedes the verb. V'ha'odam yada, v'ha'shem himtir, v'ha'shem amar, name before the verb, v'yakov natan, Yaakov had given, have given. I'm surprised that they, the other English translations except for the translation of Samson of Purhurst as and Yaakov gave. I'm surprised. Over there in number 7, Jacob said, swear to me this day, he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. Jacob gave. Incorrect translation. Jacob had given. Had given. My brother's going to go on to say, and this is going to explain something later on in the parasha. Yaakov has not been accused of stealing the brachos, the blessings. My brother says, you know who the real deceiver over there is? Yeah? Yaakov is not the deceiver. You know who's the deceiver? Esau. When his father says he wants to bless him, he understands that his father wants to bless him because he has the right of the firstborn. You know what an honest person would have said? Father, I'm afraid to tell you, but I sold all the rights of the birthright to my brother. Oh, no. He doesn't say that. He doesn't come clean. He doesn't say the truth. So who's deceiving who? Who wants to steal the birthright from who? Esau, from Yaakov. And people can read the parasha, and Yaakov is... I've got to read it again. Jacob had taken on fear of his brother's hunger. Would not compassionate righteousness have suggested that he give him his food? Okay? I wrote my good friend Rabbi Riskin a 7-page letter. He responded with a 10-page letter. And I sent another 7-page letter. And that's where it remains until today.
14.
What I'm telling you is the following. I think that on the page where his parasha appears, there should be a notice. This pshat in the parasha may be seriously deleterious to your spiritual health. He wrote one 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I walked around the house a whole day. I was in a state of shock. We have learned here, I don't know how many times, and the whole world believes it, that Avram discovered God. And we've learned that great Rambam, chapter 1 of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam describes historically when idolatry appeared on the face of this earth, how Avram as a young man was troubled, how he thought, he pondered, he meditated, he studied, he suffered emotionally and intellectually until he discovered. Rabbi Riskin writes, you know, we can come to a different conclusion, not necessarily what the Rambam wrote. You know who discovered God? Terah! And Avram is going in the footsteps of his father. And the title of the article was In the Footsteps of the Fathers. Terah! I mean, I wrote a letter to the Jerusalem Post. I'm waiting to see this coming Friday if they're going to print it. I mean, I said, if so, then we are the whole world are the worst ingrates of all. Our dominant should be again and look at Avram. Throughout all of Torah, who knows how many times God says Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, it should be Terach Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Not true. I'm ashamed and embarrassed to say it. The Rambam was right. The Rambam doesn't really have to be defended. But there's sometimes this idea of something novel. And the end of my letter to the Jerusalem Post was, novelty does not necessarily make truth. But this, I will say one thing. I don't think I don't think that the Harbiskin knows that Sinai Yisrael of all generations used the story of Yaakov and the serpent to attack the Jewish people. I think his hair would stand up on his hand. But I'm sorry, to me it's very difficult to say this, but I have to say it. And listen, this is what Torah's all about. There are differences of opinion, there are disputes, and the dispute in Torah, where I have the responsibility to defend Yaakov Avinu, I will defend Yaakov Avinu, even if it means that I have to tell you that Rabbi Harbiskin made a terrible, terrible mistake. That's it. I bet my case. Thank you.